Wow.
Wow.
Wow. That was a word for me, so I'm just going to dwell here for a moment. Whoa. Oh. You know what happened when Smith Wigglesworth came last time? I'm going to need the tissue box, hang on. New Zealand rejected the move of God. And the father heart of what he carried. Wow. And this nation is an orphan nation. We have kicked out every father that has ever come to this land. But now is the time. If we go to Malachi 3, it says, chapter 4, where it says, the hearts of the fathers will turn to the children. Children will turn to the fathers. We're going to break the curse over this nation.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We're going to be a fathered nation.
Yes.
No longer will we be orphans. Yes. Wow. I'm not afraid to be undone.
No.
And I blame this on a few of my friends in Toronto. The only time I've ever cried in public was my wedding. But God undid me.
Thank you.
Wow. I was sitting there in worship and I was getting nervous. And more nervous. I'm like, I never get nervous getting up in front of people, but it was this nervous excitement of something, the threshold that we're stepping into, and the time frame of what we're going through, this breakthrough that we're stepping into right on the threshold of what God's got for us. Oh, wow. Daddy God, we love you. Thank you for that word and that encouragement, Lord, and I just appreciate you. I love you so much, and you're awesome. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being here. Just lift your hands to the Lord. I just really believe the Spirit of God just wants to move on you also. Wow. 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 Spirit, move. Oh, I just see vacuum cleaner angels coming and just sucking up all the cares, all the blockages. Wow, that sometimes hinder us from receiving what Father really has to say. Thank you. Just angels, just continue to do your work. Father, melt our hearts with your love. Melt our hearts with your security. Melt our hearts that we are open and transparent before you, that we can receive everything that you have for us this afternoon, that we pick up the tools that you have for us to carry on this work, Lord. Father, right now I declare, shift.
Wow, yes, Lord.
Wow. Revelation, come into this room right now. Wow. Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
Shoo. 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 Wow. 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 Waves of mercy, waves of love are just flowing. Those who have struggled with acceptance, I really believe this moment is for you. God is just, Daddy is speaking here. Daddy is just saying, I love you. Those people who have felt like they've been a square peg in a round hole for far too long, Daddy's saying, you fit in my kingdom. You fit in my arms. Wow. Those who have struggled with the fear of abandonment, I break that now in Jesus' name. Wow. For no longer. Wow. For no longer will you be abandoned. No longer will you be rejected, because rejection was taken upon him. And Daddy receives us. He's adopted us into his kingdom. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Spirit of God. Sweet, sweet Spirit, we love you. We love you, Jesus. Wow. Wow. We are accepted in the Beloved. Wow. That is an amazing thing. Lord, I just thank you. Wow. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Use my mouth, Father, and just speak your words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Wow. I love Jehovah. I'm gonna introduce you to another name of God. I call him Jehovah Sneaky. It just sneaks up on you every now and again, and that suddenly is that Gary and I just love, because he just sneaks up on you and catches you unexpected. And I love being aware of that just randomly. Just out of the blue, he's going to speak my love language. You know, we hear of the five love languages. God created those. And you know what? He speaks to us through them. So if you get if you struggle hearing God's voice, find out what your love languages are and start looking for God to speak through them. Because, you know, for me, most people think I'm just clucky and want kids, but actually it's the way Daddy speaks to me. We were just in Seattle, and this guy, the friend in the ministry, he took us out of another meeting that we were just attending, and he starts prophesying over us. And do you know how Daddy God confirmed that word to me? A little girl who I'd never seen, hadn't even smiled at or nothing. She's probably not even 2 years old, probably just walking. She runs in between. We're just standing in a three sort of circle. She comes right in between, stands there, grabs onto my legs, smiles, and just looks up. And the older kid that was looking after her was like, come here, come here. Like he was going to get in trouble. And she goes, and just stands there hugging my legs for probably over 10 minutes. And for me, that was Daddy God's hugging me. But it was through a two-year-old. And it was that blessed me more than the actual word. Because God knew the way to love me. Every time I'm down, I'm like, I'll sit there and go, if I'm especially in a mall, I'm like, okay, God, where's my funny child? Where's the kid that's going to make me laugh and get me out of where I am? And 9 times out of 10, there's always a kid. It's quite amazing. I just love my daddy. I just love how he knows who we are and that he's really interested in our everyday life. He's interested in where we go to work, house cleaning, washing, all the mundane things. People tell Gary and I we have a really amazing life and they wish they do what we do. And sometimes I answer back and say, no, you really don't wish, you know, getting on plane trips for 37 hours and at a time and jet lag and all the rest. You really don't, living with no home. We've lived since we got married out of other people's houses with 2 suitcases. And we just got given a house back in June. And we have yet to move in. We've seen it. We bought our first bed. It was pretty cool. But we get to sleep in it in November. But the thing, I know that sounds a long way away. It's actually really close for us. But people say we've got an amazing life. But what I want to tell you is whatever you're in, whatever situation you get yourself into, it becomes very mundane very easily. And it becomes everyday life. What we see and do for us is very normal. But I don't go to your work. I don't go to your supermarket. I don't go. You have so much more that you can impact on a daily basis. Where we come in, sometimes people think we do a little thing and then leave. But what we come here to do is to give you the tools for everyday life. We come here to equip you so that you can go further in what you are and where you are. We come to partner with your vision, your destiny, and help you further that position that you're in and God has for you. And we do have a great life. We do have a fun, exciting life. And I don't say that in any other means that we have a great life, but each individually can see the miracles that we see on the road. Each individually can see the supernatural working in everyday life. It blows my mind at how much God's interested in that area of our lives. How many of us have gone through seasons, especially in the last 6 months? The beginning of the year, it was like 2007, we're going to see the most amazing move of God, we're going to see this, and all these prophecies came out at the beginning of the year that we're on the threshold of something big, God's going to do amazing things. And we got probably 4 months into 2007, went, oh. And that feeling left, that faith energy left. And we also almost went into a flip side of, what's going to happen? Where's God? What? This random, out of the blue season got chucked upon the church. I was talking with a gentleman at lunchtime. He said, where do you see the churches at across the board? And I said, all in the same position. We're waiting for an event to take place. Yeah. We're waiting for that next thing that's not now. But I want to talk to you this afternoon about seasons of life. And I want to talk to you about where we're at right now, but how to produce fruit in that season. Because we're waiting for an event to take place, and we've almost, dare I say it, we've boxed God into an event mentality. We go from conference to conference to conference, and we fill up just enough to get us to the next place. We keep going just enough, and oh, maybe I'll get filled up there, or maybe this will change there. And I know for New Zealand, we went through it majorly in 2000 through to 2005. We became a lot of us drinkies who love to drink the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not saying it's bad at all, because I love conferences and I love going from watering hole to watering hole. And we need that. We so need that. But what about what I was talking about before? Everyday life. What about the seasons where we feel like God's left us? What about the season where we know we're a hem away from a breakthrough, but we don't know how to get there? What about when we've been producing loads of fruit, seeing people saved, healing the sick, and all of a sudden it stops? What about that? And I honestly have never, I've grown up in the church, I was born a Christian. I was born to praise God. I gave my life to the Lord when I was 7 years old, and I started seeing angels and stuff when I was about 11 years old. And I've grown up in the realms of the Spirit, but I've never heard anybody talk about living according to your season. And we were back here last January for Christmas, and we were just having a worship time as a family. And we were, you know, every January, come the 1st of January, I always sit down with God and go, okay, what's the next year going to take? You know, last year was change. 2006 for me was change. We got married in 10 days. That was change, you know? And it was just change, change, change. And I did have a freak out time, which God was very gracious to me. But 2006 was change. The year before was faith for me, learning how to believe God for the real and possible stuff. So what was 2007 going to be for me? And all I got was, Sarah, you're so good at looking to what the next season is and looking for the next event and looking for what I'm going to do next, but you forget to live according to your season that you're in. I was blown away. You know, as prophetic people, as a prophetic generation, we generally want to see the next thing. You know, that's inbuilt and inbred of us, and I don't want to cut that off. I don't want to shut that down. But we can't forget to realize and actually use our seeing abilities and our discernment to say, well, what do I need to do in this season, God? What do you want me to learn in this season? Because when we're constantly looking to the next thing, we forget we end up not producing fruit and we become infertile. And we end up aborting the very next thing God wants us to do because we're not living in the now. And I really sense, especially for this church, this is a now season. Because what we do when we look forward, we think that's way out of reach. We think that's way, oh, it's in the next 6 months. What about now? What about healing the sick now? We don't have to get all our ducks in a row for now. Because what we think is when we see the imaginary person almost that we think ourselves are, truly are, you know, that little person that we never really let out to show people, that person that's totally in love with God, that wants to raise the dead and heal the sick, but we think we've got to get somewhere first, or we've got to have the approval of people first, and all we really need is Daddy God. Amen. To live now. The season of now is upon us. And are we going to rush through it? Are we going to, I don't see it, la, 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 I'm not listening, I don't want to know. Because sometimes we run into our little caves when it gets too hard. And we go, I don't want to know. When's the next thing, God? I want freedom, I want liberty, I want all this stuff. But he's saying, I've got you in this place for a purpose. I've got you in this place for a season because there is a jewel. There is this thing this hidden treasure that I want you to go after. There is this part of my heart that you don't know yet, but I'm wanting to show you in this place. Amen? I'm going to open my notes. Gary's like, just preach it, honey. Just forget your notes. But I like to have it. It's my security. Even if I don't use it, it's still right there, you know. Where did my water go? Oh, that's good. Thanks, babe. You know, as Gary said, we go from glory to glory, and we get stuck in the two. It's like playing stuck in the mud. How many of us played that as kids, you know? Stuck in the mud and somebody has to climb through your legs to let you out. And it's almost like we run around after doing the things of God and all of a sudden we get stuck in the mud. And in the Psalms it says, he said, you lifted me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon the solid rock. Amen? So in seasons, it's winter right now, right? So we dress for winter. It's a lot warmer up here than it is Wellington. It was 8 degrees when we left. It was rather a tad cold, especially coming from Toronto where it was 35. It's a bit of a shock to the system. But you don't see any sane Kiwi, I should say, running around in the middle of winter with a swimsuit on or shorts. I have seen a few Kiwis with shorts on. It's a bit insane, really, but I guess they're used to the weather. But you don't run around when it's absolutely freezing outside with nothing on. Yeah. You dress for winter. Yeah, you get accustomed to the season. As soon as the sun comes out in summer, everybody's out in their shorts and t-shirt, whether it's warm or not, another story, we just love the sun. But that we dress accordingly. And the seasons that we're coming to, we need to know the times and the seasons and where we are right now. And over the last few weeks, I've been in my quiet times, God's just been saying, where are you? Where are you? And what do you want? The first question's probably pretty easy to answer. Second question's pretty hard. What do you want? What do you want right now? You know, all of us have cultivated and got visions from God and destiny and this inbuilt thing of a plan, a blueprint almost of what God's given us for the future. But he's saying, what do you want now? I'm a daddy that loves to give good gifts. What do you want now? In this season, in this time of your life, what do you want? And I honestly had to say, Lord, I actually don't know. Maybe some couches. But that's where we are right now. But I'm like, God, you never asked me that question before. And he said, but it's my desire to give you your desire. Because I planted your desire there in the first place. That desire is there. And he's like, what do you want? What do you want to do now? What exploits? What craziness can you come up with? You know, we think our imagination can run away with us sometimes, but this is what I say. If you can imagine it, then God's not going to do it. because he says he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. That word think is imagine. He's going to do way above all of that. So start thinking crazy. Start thinking wild. Yeah. Start listening to what you want and what you want to do. When I was growing up, I wanted to see somebody healed.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we say in New Zealand, I've heard it a lot of times, well, miracles don't really happen in New Zealand. Wild, crazy miracles don't really happen in New Zealand. But when's the last time you laid your hands on the sick? And I went over to America, and they say it's really common. Everybody says it in the Western culture. Well, we don't see amazing miracles. And I laid my hands with three other young people, and we laid our hands on this guy who's missing his backbone, about that much of his backbone, since birth. And it was only a miracle he could walk, because as he grew up, it was all replaced by muscle. And he lived in the constant fear of picking up his children wrong or going to sleep wrong, and he'd be paralyzed for the rest of his life. Now, before we prayed for him, I don't know if this is a smart thing or not, but we actually stuck our hands in the hole in his spine. And all of us are going, ah, yeah, like I was going to heal this one, sure. We're, oh, yeah, of unbelief. And we're the ones praying for him. And we laid our hands and we said, Jesus, heal him. Just heal him. And so we all prayed a prayer full of faith. No, if it was in the magic of the words, it really would have worked. But he gets up, feels his spine, goes over to his mother, and she just bawls her eyes out. We're like, what's happened? And he's like, oh, God grew my spine back. We're like, what? And he was just totally nonchalant, like, yeah, matter of fact. But then do you know what the funniest thing was? About half an hour later, he starts freaking out, running around the whole church, absolutely going beside himself. And he said, you know what? God healed my floating rib too. I never asked him for that. And we're just like, what? But think of the things that you want to see. And get it inside of you of what God wants to do, and now go do it. Because there's three steps that we teach in the prophetic. When we do prophetic training schools, there's three things that we teach just how to prophesy. So we get a lot of people that have never prophesied before or have all their lives, but they still come and do the school. And it's great because we blow a lot of their boxes. In religious teaching, it's a lot of fun. but we teach them, you receive, you understand, and then you apply. So if I was to have a word for, I've forgotten your name, Lynette. We met her yesterday, I'm horrible with names. Lynette, I would receive a word from God. I would, like if it was poppies, I'm like, what the heck is that? Poppies. So I could get just one word and not understand it at all. But I've got the word poppies. And the interpretation is that God just sees her as absolutely beautiful, and people just stand back, even though she's fragile, because poppies, if you pick them, they die pretty quick. But God's got her right there to display his beauty, even though she's fragile and tender in his arms, and God loves that about her. He loves how he can just mold her and create her, because it's, and I just got that from poppies. But now what did I do? I also applied it. I could have the word poppies, the understanding of it, but then never do anything with it. Maybe that encourages me, I don't know, but would that encourage her if I just kept it to myself? No. So when we take the word prophecy and we apply it and we minister it into somebody and we just release the anointing all over, wow! Whoa! I think that was a dangerous move. Ha! We just say that the beauty of the Lord just rests upon you. Wow! And we minister the word into somebody. What did I do? I did an action. And in life, the three ingredients of seasons, which I found to be Quite true. We have, when we're looking for the season, we're looking for the next thing, we receive. And as time goes on, we start to understand, we cultivate the vision, we cultivate the promise that God's given us. But so many of us just stay in that place and we get stuck in the mud. Understanding what I'm saying? We just stay and we don't do any action. You know, if this dear couple, you know, she had it in her heart to plant a church, and what happened, you know, she could have had it in her heart until she died.
Yeah, yeah.
But until she actually actioned it,
yeah,
the fruit wasn't there.
That's right. Yes.
The action is the very vehicle of the supernatural. The obedience is the very vehicle of the supernatural to take place. If there's no action, as Gary said, Jesus gave us all authority to do, to go. And if we're not doing anything, there's nothing going to happen. This is a pretty dodgy way of saying it, if those who don't have renewed minds. But both Gary and I used to live a red light Christianity. I know it sounds kind of sus, but basically we would say, we're not going anywhere, Lord, until you tell us. God, we're not going anywhere until you tell us, because I want to be obedient to you. Yeah. Come on, God, you've got to tell me where to go or what to do. And you know what? We never went anywhere. But now we've changed our mentality. We've changed our thinking to live a green light Christianity, that everything is green until he shows us the red. And you know what? He will show you the red. Because we were doing our calendar for 2007 last September, and they said, "Oh, we're gonna have this amazing crusade in South Africa. You've got to come, have your minister. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be history changing, and all this sort of stuff." And we're like, "Okay, we'll put it in our calendar." We started praying about it, and we called them up a couple of weeks later, and we said, "We're not coming. We're not going to be a part of the team. We just get a sense we're not supposed to go." They're like, "What? You're crazy. This is going to be the most amazing thing. We're going to go feed the orphans. We're going to have such a great time." And we said, "Yeah, it's just not our time." A month later, they cancelled the whole trip. And the way we organise our calendar is, we would have already bought our tickets in September for that march, and we would have been up the hole with a lot of money and tickets that we can't even use. So God will give you the red light. Trust. I had great faith in the Holy Ghost, because the way he showed me, when you're making decisions, I don't know anybody else who has trouble making decisions. This is what God showed me. I am doing a little bunny trail here, but we'll get back to the point. Making decisions. We sit there going, "Okay, God, what's your will? What's your will? What's your will? What's your will?" And we do the Holy Ghost exercises, maybe the Pentecostal hop a few times. And we stress out over getting it right. And this is what God showed me. He said, "Sarah, if your heart's toward me, you've got this massive, huge bullseye in front of you, and you can't miss. You cannot miss, because why? A man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps." I have great faith in the Holy Ghost that he will direct your steps and the destiny and the plans that God has for each and every one of you here. Wow. Wow. Let's get into the Word. Let's go to Genesis 26. This may seem totally out of whack, but this is quite an amazing scripture, chapter. It's about Isaac. And we'll just read verse 1 of 26. "There was a famine in the land. besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech the king and the Philistines in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land in which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heavens. I will give to you, your descendants, all these lands, and in your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Isaac dwelt in the land of Gerar, and the men of the place asked about his wife. And he said, "She is my sister." This is quite funny because it's almost a replay of what happened to his father. "For he was afraid to say that she's my wife, because he thought lest the men of the place will kill me for Rebekah, because she is so beautiful. Now it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked through a window and saw there that Isaac was showing endearment to Rebekah, his wife. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, 'Quite obviously, she is your wife. So how could you say, she is my sister, lest I die on her account?' And Abimelech said, 'What is this you have done to us? One of the people might soon have lain with your wife and would have brought guilt on us.' So Abimelech charged all his people, saying, 'He who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death.' Then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him." Now, it's amazing that this is a land of, at this time, the season was famine. It was absolutely crazy famine. And his natural instinct was to move. He went and dwelt with the king at... I love it when my lips... Shoot, I did it again. My lips get numb. See, God's sneaky. He just sort of creeps up on you. I have a couple of angels that love to mess. Love to mess. And he's one of them is quite short and fat. And he's just got this cheeky grin on his face all the time. And every now and again he messes with me while I'm up here. And it's always at the most nothing times. So you can blame them. Oh, hey. Oh, hey. And I just yield because I've been thrown across the room quite a number of times where I haven't, and they just go, "I'm way bigger than you." You can drink with me. It makes me feel a whole lot more comfortable. Oh, and if you don't want it, I'll take it. Oh. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you. I love it how they can just have fun. We think angels are just really serious, or God's really serious all the time. But you know what? The word tells me he sits on the throne and laughs. He's not afraid of the devil. He ain't afraid of your sin. He ain't afraid of your tantrums. Whoa! He just loves to play. Oh! If you get around kids enough, whoa, they have this inbuilt, play, I just got to play, everything's play. And if you watch even animals, baby animals, I was watching, whoa, these gorillas, they were, whoa, on our National Geographic. And these two baby, whoa, gorillas were just messing with the mom, and she was just like, bam, trying to go find food. And you know, the narrator's saying how much the kids love to play and get on each other's nerves and everything. And I was just watching how serious the mum was, because she was so focused on what her jobs were and had to do. And all the kids want to do is play. Whoa. And that's all we're supposed to do, is just play. And this has nothing to do with my message. It's great. Oh, wow. Ho! 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 I love it how Isaac moved. He shifted into a place. Whoa! During the time of famine when nothing was happening, nobody was being able to produce crops. And the Lord came to him in that place where he said, I'm going to go there. And then he probably had it in his heart to go to Egypt, because the Lord appeared to him and said, don't go down to Egypt. And the Lord's appearing and saying, don't go to the ways of the world when you don't know what else to do. Come do my way. My season is not the way of Egypt. It's not the ways of the world. But come into my timing and my heartbeat. Jump into my rhythm and I will show you what I can do, because I'm the God. Whoa! Whoa! I just walked into him then. Ha! Hey, oh! Wow! Thank you, Jesus. Because he's going to do the supernatural. He's going to show you. He's going to shine his face upon you and bless you when you jump into the rhythm with him. And he says, look, God knows this is crazy in your mentality. He said, don't go down to Egypt. Wow! This seems totally logical to you, but what did he do? He backed it up with promise, 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 promise. If you obey me, this is what I'm going to do. He made the path so clear and so straight. You know, I'm sick and tired of us walking around and knowing that the road's like this. Round and round, and I don't know what I'm doing, and you end up walking round and round in circles. And we don't need to, because God has laid out promises that make our path straight. He's given us a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that we may know his ways and his truth, that we may walk in the heartbeat. And he's laid out promise after promise after promise, that there is victory, that there is breakthrough. At every step of the way, there's going to be something that he does, because he's the daddy that loves to do good things. He's the daddy that loves to bless us. Whoa, and have fun and play. Whoa. And the Lord appeared to him. Wow, that just blows my mind. You know, I listened to all these people that said, I have a visitation from the Lord the other day, and Jesus walked into my living room, and I'm like, I'm so jealous. Yeah. You know, I can see angels, and I've seen the Lord of hosts up to about here, up to his knees, because I fell on the floor and didn't look up. But it's probably my own silly fault, but I've seen his eyes. But I still, every day, I want him to appear to me in all the ways that he does. But I just, the more I see him, the more I want him, and the more I just love. Wow, for the Lord to appear. Wow. Oh, the Lord appeared to him. That can happen in every moment of your life. I love it in John, in Revelations, he says that I turned and I was in the Spirit. And I just imagine him walking down the road going, oh, wow, there's something. Because he says, I see a door. And then he turned and he was suddenly in the Spirit. Wow. It's just there. That realm is just there. The Lord appeared. Wow. Yes, Lord. You know, we can walk into his throne room boldly because of his grace and his blood. It's just there. Wow. The promise. God is vats and vats of promise to pour over you for the seasons that you walk through. So to give you the ability, even in that hard place, like the woman with the issue of blood, I can imagine her going, this is my last resort. I read a real interesting thing about her. It was a letter from Caiaphas to the Pharaoh at the time. You can research it. And the report was that she had been bleeding for so long that her skin was literally transparent. That's how sick she was. She was skin and just barely skin and bones. She had very little muscle left in anything. It was just transparent. Can you imagine? And yet, at that last moment, she said, that is my answer. And even in that time, God has given us the promises. And that's why we need to prophesy them to ourselves, to remind us. You know, Isaac got tripped up. God said, go dwell there and I'm going to bless you. Do your normal life and I'm going to bless you. And you know what? He got tripped up. He never sowed his crop until God dealt with the fear. God will take us through seasons and times to deal with the issues of the heart. Why? Because they block the blessings of the Lord. It's amazing to me how much we can get so hard and crusted and with people around us, and we think we do it to protect ourselves, and yet we really just build a barrier between us and God, and we hit the roof and hit the roof and hit the roof, and we're like, why, God? And yet he's just slowly going to start to melt that heart so that he can, and wow, that he can enable you to do the things that you need to do in this season. You know, God dealt with the fear. God dealt with his perspective. As I said before, each season we need to receive. So Isaac received the word of the Lord. He received what he was to do. He received line upon line, precept upon precept. He understood what he needed to do. He didn't go to Egypt. All power to him. He didn't go to the ways of the world. He didn't go to the natural thinking of what he thought he should do. He did listen to God. But in that process, in that leap of faith, fear gripped him. And God, by God's grace, dealt with it. And when you're starting to step out and walk out that process of destiny, we may get tripped up sometimes with fear or other issues. But by God's grace, stand. When you've done all else, just stand. In that place of faith, going, God, you know. The best prayer I've ever prayed was, help! Help me! Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through him and through me, he can do all things. Amen? We apply. Obedience is imperative. Gary was journaling the other day and God said to him, obedience is the delight of heaven. Because without obedience, it's amazing, nothing gets done. Without that simple obedience, nothing gets done. It's a simple effect. It's really easy. You know, my mother would tell me to do the dishes. Without my obedience, the dishes wouldn't get done. They'd still be there. You know, in natural life as well as the spirit. And it's amazing how natural laws precede the spirit laws. Obedience is the delight of heaven. God jumps up and loves it when you obey. You see, in the New Testament it says, I'd rather obedience than sacrifice. Why? Because if you keep sacrificing upon sacrificing upon sacrificing, all you're sacrificing is your future. We've been built into this mentality of sacrifice. You've got to clean the toilets of the church. It's a good thing, mind. you've got to do. You've got to give your time. You've got to sow your time. You've got to, and all of it is out of your extra stuff. And it is sacrifice to a certain degree because you're sacrificing the time with your family. You're sacrificing the time that you may get with your husband, or you're sacrificing your job if you take time off work to do something for the kingdom. But when it's obedience, there's such a different mentality when there's obedience involved. Do you know what? Obedience may cause you to sacrifice something, but obedience is out of a love relationship. Yes, it's obedience is out of sonship. Obedience is, I'm doing this because I love you and you love me, and I'm fully confident that whatever I sacrifice is you're going to give back to me 100-fold. Amen?
Yeah,
it's the seasons. The underlying thing about seasons is you'll always learn this one thing. It's about relationship with him. That's all it is. In a nutshell, it's all about our relationship with Him. You know, Gary said, if you want the power, go spend time with Him. And I remember God saying, Sarah, seek relationship, not the power. And you know what? We want this quick fix. We want to be able to do the especially ministering all the time. We want to be able to have the flashy shows, the stage presentation of the power of God, you know, coming with us. But if I didn't have the relationship, it wouldn't mean anything. If I, and relationship takes time. Relationship takes communication. Relationship takes spending that time with Him. It's amazing that the fruit that comes out of that place of intimacy allows you to apply what He's told you to do. You know, the miracle that I love here in verse 12 of 26, Isaac sowed in the land, and in the same year, he produced a hundredfold harvest. And I want to say to this church, you've sowed in the place of famine. You've sowed in the place where everybody else probably said, you're probably quite crazy, but we'll love you anyway and we'll smile nicely. But I want to say, in the same year, he reaped a hundredfold. I really believe this church is going to see a hundredfold bless of heaven. I really believe that the fruit in your lives that you're going to start to produce, even in those transition moments, because number one, you've received. Number two, you've understood. You've changed your perspective from natural thinking. And number three, we're going to do everything in His might, in His strength, to apply it. You know, we get these things, we receive, and we understand, but sometimes we get the sense of false responsibility. We have this weight of responsibility of, we've got to preach the gospel to the lost. And it's ungodly. But I really believe God's going to give you the ability to respond rather than just responsibility. He's placing, I've been watching the angels just place tools, new tools, and there's been a blacksmith angel at the back just preparing new armor for a lot of you. And while I was sitting in worship, I just saw those plates on the forearm. A lot of you have been defending with your arms, and He's just going to restore the shield of faith. He's just going to start planting that faith back inside of you that you can dare to believe Him again. That what He says is utterly the truth, and that He's going to come to pass. And I see a lot of you have stepped out on a limb, and you're walking on water, and it's almost like you started to feel like you're going to sink. And I just say, Jesus is standing right next to you, and He's saying, you ain't going to sink. Keep walking. Because He's right there. He's right there. He's teaching us how to live according to the now. To the now. It's a now season. What do you want to do? What do you want to apply? Wow. Thank you, Lord. I love Him so much. He's so cool. Look for the fingerprint of God in everything. Look, you know, when we understand, we change our perspective for His perspective, right? Instead of focusing on what God's not doing in our lives, the next thing, because He's not doing the next thing, He's doing the now thing. Look at everything God is doing and praise Him for it.
Yes, yes.
Start giving thanks. Start praising Him for what He is doing right now. And you will find that is the pathway to the next thing. But start praising Him, because He is worthy. Because He is unbelievably magnificent. He is amazing. Wow. Wow. God is good. our intention is to lay hands on every one of you this afternoon and minister the very love of the Father. We've been talking about seasons and breakthrough. This is a season of breakthrough. This is a season of the supernatural invading your life.
Hallelujah.
This is a season where you stand up and take a hold of everything God's given you. This is a season where your feet are going to be planted on the solid rock. And if you have felt anything contrary to what I said, I want you to stand to your feet. If you're in a place where you just know you need breakthrough, if you're in a place where you're just, I don't know where I am, if you don't know that answer to that question, where are you? You don't know where you are. You don't know what you're doing. You've almost disqualified yourself for the vision and the destiny that God's had on you because of circumstance. Or because of circumstance, you said, I can't do that anymore. I've laid it down. Because of circumstance. If you just want a touch from Father God, then I encourage you to stand to your feet.